Open our Bibles to Acts chapter 14, and we're going to take a look at the book of Acts this morning, and we're going to see how the power of God eliminates middle ground. I really think that that's what we see happening in our nation today. As the gospel goes out, not everybody's going to be happy about it. In fact, it brings us to where we have to make a choice about things when we see how truly polarized the message of the gospel is. We either believe or we don't believe, and there's huge ramifications for either side of this. Let's look at chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Now, it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and of Greeks, believed. We all say praise the Lord, amen. The reading of God's Word, the explanation of it, many people came to believe. That should be the end of the discussion. Everybody's happy, right? Well, unfortunately, that isn't exactly how it works out. We do have an enemy in this world, and he inspires other people to oppose the Word of God. And so that's what happens in verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. I want to make a special note there, verse 3. And we're going to break this down a little bit more, but as we read, I can't help but notice certain things that jump out and grab me. So they found opposition in verse 2, and we have a therefore. Okay, the therefore in Scripture is always talking about, since what was just said, this is what happened. Since there were many who opposed, therefore they stayed there a long time. Do I get an amen from the church? You see, oftentimes in our culture, whenever we feel a little opposition, we go, oh no, I gotta leave. I need to go somewhere else. I need to hide. I must have offended someone, so I need to stop. But apparently the early apostles didn't see it that way. They saw that if there were those who were opposing the message, it meant they were opposing God. And if they were opposing God, that meant that those people who were opposing were in danger. And because they loved those who were opposing the Word of God, they stayed so that they might persuade them to reconsider their thoughts and not to poison the others around them. So let's read verse 3 again. Therefore, they stayed there a long time. Guys, it's going to take sacrifice. Amen? Speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace, granting signs and wonders to be done through their hands. Who was granting those that the signs and wonders be done? God Himself was doing wonderful things through the apostles' hands. Why? To prove that their message was true. Now, I believe that's still the call of the church today. You know, not flamboyant signs that brings attention to us, but I think we need to be bold, folks. The heat's starting to ramp up in our nation, amen? Have y'all noticed the polarization and the divide between the people who believe and the people who don't? It's getting greater, and the other side seems to be getting even more and more angry on a regular basis. And I want you to know that we shouldn't be surprised. And we should also be encouraged. Because the fact that the other side is getting angry means that God is doing something good. Amen? If God is doing something good, we've been praying for revival now. I believe we're starting to see the early signs of it. And I believe we have an enemy, and he's not going to be happy about it. But I believe we need to be bold anyways, and we need to stay there a long time. We need to continue on. In verse 4, but the multitude of the city was divided. We see some division happening. Amen? I couldn't help but whenever I read these verses, I see our nation being discussed in these verses. What we see happening right now is what we see had happened here. And so don't be surprised. Part sided with Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them. Who's the them here? It's Paul. It's his co-parts, his co-laborers in the gospel. They've already been stoned once here. and chased out of different places, but especially here, they're coming against them, and rather than just running, immediately they stayed there a long time. But now they see that the persecution is ramping up, and they're being made aware of this in verse 6, and they became aware of it, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonium, to the surrounding region. Now, they didn't go far. It's the surrounding region. They were wise to get away from where this heated battle was getting worse, but they didn't just leave and go to a completely faraway land and forget about it. I believe that many of the believers who were with them actually still had opportunity to be taught by them, because they went to the surrounding region and they were preaching the gospel there. The gospel continued to be preached. Amen. And so as they saw opposition, they stayed for a long time. I keep hanging on that verse. They stayed for a long time. And it's not unwise for us, whenever we see immediate persecution, that we can find shelter, that we can find safety. But I tell you the truth, guys, we cannot deny Jesus. We cannot just stop preaching the message. We cannot just hide forever in some place and forget about spreading the gospel. We must continue to preach that gospel no matter where we go. We must continue to stand for Christ. Thank God for those who did then, and it's our responsibility to do it now. And maybe we do it by the power of God. You see, Jesus warned us that this was going to happen. In fact, In Matthew chapter 10, verses 21 through 23, he says, "Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death." What's he talking about here? It's whenever one family member comes to the Lord. And sometimes even other family members might begin to hate them for it and begin to persecute them for it. Do you think? You know, we hear about things like that happening in the Middle East and different areas of the world. Guys, there's the same kind of hatred that can happen even in folks here in the United States. Whenever they see somebody begin to follow the Lord and stand boldly for Him, sometimes it causes anger. And he says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Do I get an amen to that? We're not given the okay to deny Christ just because He makes some people a little bit mad. If He's the way, the truth, and the life, and He's the only way that anybody can come to the Father, then we have to stand with Him. Amen? And so He says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. So they were told how to respond. "For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes." What we need to know, guys, is Jesus told us it was going to be this way. So don't be surprised. You see, we've kind of been raised in a culture that all of a sudden we've got a constitutional right to not be offended by anybody. And so like, that's not true. It's not a true statement, but we've been falsely told that no one should ever offend another person. I can tell you, when you preach Jesus, it's going to be an offense to some people. Because you see, Jesus being the only way means every other way is not true. It means every other way is a false, even a lie, a demonic counterfeit. And so I know whenever I came to the Lord, there was a member of my family that said, "Yeah, but if you say you're right, you're saying everybody else who believes differently is wrong." I said, "Well, not really me saying that. It's really God who said that. But yes, I'm repeating it, and I'm standing on it. Either Jesus is the only way, or He's not a way at all, because Jesus said, 'I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life.'" And then He went ahead and qualified it even further. "No one comes to the Father except through me." He made it very exclusive, folks. Very exclusive, but then very inclusive. Because He said, "If anyone comes to me," in John chapter 8, "I will not cast them away." So He's very exclusive in that He is the one and only way, but He's very inclusive that He says, "If anybody comes to me, I'll take them." So praise God. But we must stand with Jesus on this, even if it becomes an offense to some. Jesus warned us. He warned us it would be this way. I want you to know, we've been studying about the power of God throughout the book of Acts, and so we're kind of back into that study right now. And we got to know that the gospel is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. That next slide, as we move on, the gospel is the power of God. You got to understand, guys, gospel means good news. It's good news to those who receive it. But I'm going to tell you, it's an offense to those who aren't. Whenever you say Jesus died for us and He's the only way unto salvation and He was a real person and He was nailed to a cross and He rose again on the third day, not everybody's going to be happy to hear that message. Now, for those who will receive Him, they're thrilled to death. Are you thrilled about the gospel today? You say this to me and I say, Amen! Amen! And so I mean it too. But you see, for others, not so much so. And again, we find that in Scripture, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Do I get an amen? Are you not ashamed of it? Absolutely. For it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we are on this faith-to-faith journey now as believers in Jesus Christ. So when we hear the gospel, it's music to our ears. But I'm going to tell you, for those who are on the outside, when we get into 1 Corinthians, it reminds us, it's foolishness to the Greeks. It's a stumbling block to those who want to adhere to Orthodox Judaism. You know, it's foolishness to others. In fact, it kind of makes them angry until they come to the place that they're willing to accept that He is truly the only way. But is it still the power of God? Absolutely. It's the only place that we can really access the true power of God is through the gospel. Here's the deal, guys. The next slide. The gospel demands a decision. The gospel demands a decision. You see, sometimes we get the cart before the horse and we start thinking that somehow or another we make a decision to find the gospel. No, the gospel comes through a witness, through the witness of the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through all these different ways and means, and then it demands that we must make a decision. As you see, the gospel demands the decision because there's no way around it. If Jesus is the only way, we've got to deal with it. We've got to decide, am I going to follow Him or not? Do I really believe this or not? Well, you see, whenever it came here in Acts chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, it demanded a decision. It demanded a decision. We see that a multitude, both of the Jews and the Greeks, believed. But I'm going to tell you, to the unbelieving Jews, it made them mad. They made up their mind too. You see, some made up their mind to follow Jesus joyfully. They became saved. They became born again. But to those unbelieving Jews, it just stirred them up to try to go against Paul and to actually try to stir up and poison the minds of others. And you see, guys, that's what's happening in our world today. That's why we're seeing a greater divide. You see, it's because the gospel's here and the gospel's demanding a decision. Not everybody's going to decide to follow, unfortunately. I wish they would. I pray they will. It'd be my desire. And in fact, I think it's somewhat, you know, God says He desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't take any delight in seeing the destruction of the wicked. But you know, depending on which side we fall out on the day of judgment, that decision they made is going to send them straight to hell. It's not God who just wants to send people into destruction. But I can tell you, for those who decide not to follow Jesus, it's exactly what's going to happen to them, because Jesus is the only way and the gospel demands a decision. Do I get an amen? The truth doesn't move. You see, you got some who believed, man, they were wholehearted about it. You got some who didn't, they tried to stir up trouble, but here's the gospel. Therefore, they stayed there a long time. The gospel didn't move. The gospel is still the gospel. It doesn't matter what you believe about it, don't matter what I believe about it, don't matter what everybody else is believing. And they can take a poll, and they can find a whole majority of people that say they don't believe it. In fact, 100% of people may not believe it, but it's still true. And it still don't move, and it's not true because I believe it. It's true because it is the power of God unto salvation. And it's only effective to those who believe. You see, your believing helps you, but it don't make it true. The gospel doesn't move. The truth doesn't move. We live in this land right now that's very confused about truth. In fact, the popular thing among this generation that's starting to come into their stride right now is, you can have your truth and I can have mine. And don't you challenge my truth, though. Don't you dare tell me that I might be wrong. I don't want to hear it. And then I'll leave you alone. You can have your truth, but now you just go on with it and you keep it to yourself. But you see, the gospel demands that a decision has to be made and the truth don't move. And that we are the truth bearers in the church. So whenever we say Jesus is truly the only way, guys, I'm telling you, we ultimately are saying every other way is untrue. And so it's going to be an offense. You can't get around it. And we need to do it as lovingly as we possibly can, but I think we need to speak it boldly. We look at what did the early church do, therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord. Don't do it from yourself, do it in the Lord. You see, this isn't Pastor John's opinion, this is thus saith the Lord. And you need to stick with, boy, is not the answer that you need to give. Well, I would never be like that. That's judging according to your morals. That's judging according to you as the example. That's the wrong way to judge. But the Word of God has already judged sin. And so if we uphold the Word, then it's thus saith the Lord, we're speaking boldly in the Lord, who is bearing witness to the Word of His grace. Guys, the greatest thing about God is His grace. Amen? Amazing grace. That grace is available to all those that don't believe if they will just come to believe. Amen? And so that's why we must continue to stand boldly in that, granting signs and wonders to be done through their hands. Let us pray that God would do signs and wonders through the church today. So the truth doesn't move, and unbelief ultimately is totally intolerant of belief. This is where persecution comes from. You know, the funny thing is, the tolerance crowd that we have today in the United States are the most intolerant people of all. They speak a lot of tolerance. They tell us about tolerance, but oftentimes, have you noticed they're totally intolerant of us? They want us to just get out of the world and get out of the way and everything else. You know, we've gotten so crazy in our world that whenever it comes to truth, we don't even want to bear up to the truth of the gender that I'm born into and the very way that God created me. We've got a society that's wanting you to ignore truth in these areas and to go along with whatever their self-avowed truth is of the way they feel. I'm going to be honest with you. I'd really like to be a millionaire. Not really. But I'm just going to go ahead and self-proclaim myself as a millionaire today. What do you think the bank's going to say whenever I start writing my million-dollar checks? I think I'll make out a check for $1 million today, and I'm self-identifying as a millionaire. I say I have that much money in my account. What do you think the bank's going to say? Mr. Jones, I'm sorry, but you've made a grave mistake. Absolutely. In fact, they're going to get a little bit worse than that, because there is a truth, and the truth is I do not have $1 million in my bank account, so I had better not make out a check for $1 million, because it won't clear. Guys, how much more is the truth of the very substance that we're made of? Amen? We are creating the image of God, both male and female, it says in the Word. And this is the truth. That's just one example. Man, we can go on and on and on with all these different crazy ideas. But here's the deal. Unbelief is intolerant of belief. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it's so intolerant that eventually that man of the flesh wants to kill the man of the spirit. And it's been happening all throughout time. Was the very first murder? Was a man of unbelief murdered the man of faith. Cain murdered his very own brother Abel. So what we need to understand, guys, is the same thing still happening today, but don't let it make you back down from the truth, because the truth still stands. The truth is the gospel. And so we just need to stand with that gospel, because it's the only hope of the society. It's the only hope of the individuals. It's the only hope of your loved ones, for your loved ones to be in heaven someday. And here's the deal, guys. Here's the good news. The gospel continues on. Even when persecution comes, it doesn't stop the gospel. We see that these men here, they decided, they became aware of it, and they fled to the cities that were close by there, the surrounding cities in that region. And guess what they continued to do? They continued to preach the gospel there. God's truth is marching on. Right? Glory, glory, hallelujah. Guys, what we need to do is just stay close to Jesus. This world's going to get crazy sometimes, and it's raging on, and there's a big divide that begins to happen, but I'm encouraged, because it means the gospel is going forward. Whose side are you on? I am going to say on this one, you really do have to pick a side, because the gospel demands a decision. If you're His, you got to stand with Him. You got no choice. He said if you deny Him, He'll deny you before His Father in heaven. So please don't deny Christ. Stand with Christ. He'll stand with you when you walk into heaven. He'll say, Father, this one's mine. I pray that's what you're going to hear when you get there. Good, well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into the time of rest. You got to stand with Jesus now to hear it. Let me pray for you. And if anybody would like to surrender their life to Jesus, I think today would be a great day to do it. You may just need to come up to the altar and say, here I am, Lord. I haven't really been living for you like I ought to. It might be a good day for you to do that. Maybe you have a day, this is a day that some of you need to join the church. I don't know. You may have been attending for a while, and you need to make that step, whatever it may be. Let's